Sri Aurobindo, The Synthesis of Yoga. Continuing in Part 4, The Yoga of Self-Perfection, Chapter 1, The Principle of the Integral Yoga, mid-page 612. In the method of synthesis which we have been following, another clue of principle has been pursued, which is derived from another view of the possibilities of yoga. This starts from the method of Vedanta, to arrive at the aim of the Tantra. In the Tantric method, Shakti is all-important, becomes the key to the finding of spirit. In this synthesis spirit, soul is all-important, becomes the secret of the taking up of Shakti. The Tantric method starts from the bottom and grades the ladder of ascent upwards to the summit. Therefore, its initial stress is upon the action of the awakened Shakti in the nervous system of the body and its centers. The opening of the six lotuses is the opening of the ranges of the power of spirit. Our synthesis takes man as a spirit in mind much more than a spirit in body, and assumes in him the capacity to begin on that level. To spiritualize his being by the power of the soul in mind, opening itself directly to a higher spiritual force and being, and to perfect by that higher force so possessed and brought into action the whole of his nature. For that reason, our initial stress has fallen upon the utilization of the powers of soul in mind, and the turning of the triple key of knowledge, works, and love in the locks of the spirit. The Hatha Yoga methods can be dispensed with, though there is no objection to their partial use. The Raja Yogic will only enter in as an informal element. To arrive by the shortest way at the largest development of spiritual power and being, and divinize it by a liberated nature in the whole range of human living, is our inspiring motive. The principle in view is a self-surrender, a giving up of the human being into the being, consciousness, power, delight of the divine. A union or communion at all the points of meeting in the soul of man, the mental being, by which the divine himself, directly and without veil, master and possessor of the instrument, shall, by the light of his presence and guidance, perfect the human being in all the forces of the nature for a divine living. Here we arrive at a farther enlargement of the objects of the yoga. The common initial purpose of all yoga is the liberation of the soul of man from its present natural ignorance and limitation, its release into spiritual being, its union with the highest self and divinity. But ordinarily, this is made not only the initial, but the whole and final object. Enjoyment of spiritual being there is, but either in a dissolution of the human and individual into the silence of self-being, or on a higher plane, in another existence. The Tantric system makes liberation the final but not the only aim. It takes on its way a full perfection and enjoyment of the spiritual power, light, and joy in the human existence. And even it has a glimpse of a supreme experience in which liberation and cosmic action and enjoyment are unified in a final overcoming of all oppositions and dissonances. It is this wider view of our spiritual potentialities from which we begin. But we add another spirit in man, not as solely an individual being traveling to a transcendent unity with the divine, but as a universal being, capable of oneness with the divine in all souls and all nature. And we give this extended view its entire practical consequence. The human soul's individual liberation and enjoyment of union with the divine in spiritual being, consciousness, and delight must always be the first object of the yoga. Its free enjoyment of the cosmic unity of the divine becomes a second object. But out of that, a third appears, the effectuation of the meaning of the divine unity with all beings by a sympathy and participation in the spiritual purpose of the divine in humanity. The individual yoga then turns from its separateness and becomes a part of the collective yoga of the divine nature in the human race. The liberated individual being, united with the divine in self and spirit, becomes in his natural being a self-perfecting instrument for the perfect outflowering of the divine in humanity. This outflowering has its two terms. First comes the growth out of the separative human ego into the unity of the spirit. Then the possession of the divine nature in its proper and its higher forms, and no longer in the inferior forms of the mental being, which are a mutilated translation and not the authentic text of the original script of divine nature in the cosmic individual. In other words, a perfection has to be aimed at, which amounts to the elevation of the mental into the full spiritual and supramental nature. Therefore, this integral yoga of knowledge, love, and works has to be extended into a yoga of spiritual and Gnostic self-perfection. As Gnostic knowledge, will, and Ananda are a direct instrumentation of spirit and can only be won by growing into the spirit, into divine being, this growth has to be the first aim of our yoga. The mental being has to enlarge itself into the oneness of the divine before the divine will perfect in the soul of the individual its Gnostic outflowering. That is the reason why the triple way of knowledge, works, and love becomes the keynote of the whole yoga. For that is the direct means for the soul in mind to rise to its highest intensities, where it passes upward into the divine oneness. That, too, is the reason why the yoga must be integral. For if emergence in the infinite, or some close union with the divine, were all our aim, an integral yoga would be superfluous, except for such greater satisfaction of the being of man as we may get by a self-lifting of the whole of it towards its source. But it would not be needed for the essential aim, since by any single power of the soul nature, we can meet with the divine. Each at its height rises up into the infinite and absolute. Each therefore offers a sufficient way of arrival, for all the 100 separate paths meet in the eternal. But the Gnostic being is a complete enjoyment and possession of the whole divine and spiritual nature. And it is a complete lifting of the whole nature of man into its power of a divine and spiritual existence. Integrality becomes then an essential condition of this yoga. At the same time, we have seen that each of the three ways at its height, if it is pursued with a certain largeness, can take into itself the powers of the others, and lead to their fulfillment. It is therefore sufficient to start by one of them and find the point at which it meets the other at first parallel lines of advance and melts into them by its own widenings. At the same time, a more difficult, complex, wholly powerful process would be to start, as it were, on three lines together, on a triple wheel of soul power. But the consideration of this possibility must be postponed till we have seen what are the conditions and means of the yoga of self-perfection. For we shall see that this also need not be postponed entirely, but a certain preparation of it is part of, and a certain initiation into it proceeds by the growth of the divine works, love, and knowledge. Page 615, end of chapter 1, The Principle of the Integral Yoga.